AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Hunter, did your weekend actually develop into anything this weekend?
Not really.
Wow. I did make it out to Deerdorf Orchard in Waconia.
Oh, nice.
Okay, I was trying to make a list of things, which I truly think are the greatest things of life. Now, I mean, we all have, you know, depending on your circumstance, your wedding day and your children, stuff like that. I'm talking about seasonal things which you just live for. I'll give a great example of this. Hot day, jumping into a cool lake.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that feels when you just jump in and you're like, this is magnificent. I would say waking up to that first snowfall of the year. Now, I know some people would not probably agree with that, but seeing the world covered in that beautiful white snow, it's very pretty. You know, it is.
I guess.
Johnny Downpour over there. Biting into an apple you've just picked from a tree that's 43 degrees because that's the temperature outside. And you bite into it, and the juice, the apple, ice-cold apple juice, and it's as fresh as it gets. That is one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
That is as good as it gets. We load it up. I've got enough apples to last us a while.
Nice.
I love this time of year. It's fantastic. Welcome to October. We are in there as well. We, of course, got Democrat of the Day. This is our 60th Democrat of the Day.
Wow.
60 this time around. Wow. And we still got a month to go. We head up to 11B. This is a district many of you are familiar with. Tim Burkhart is running as the DFL in 11B, which is just north of the Twin Cities Metro, up towards Pine County and up towards, as you head to Duluth, on the eastern side of the state of Minnesota. Tim is kind enough to join us today to talk about his campaign. Hi, Tim.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
Pretty good, but you're kind of making me hungry and salivate a little bit of talking about apples.
Well, I was going to. Do you have any good orchards up there that you like to go to?
Actually, a couple of local orchards have sprung up in the last, I want to say, 3 or 4 years. The trees have reached maturity and are now producing not tons, but a significant supply of locally grown apples. And they'll sell them, of course, at the orchard, but they're also good at producing enough to supply the local grocery stores, which is a nice plus, too.
And I know a lot of school districts as well get local contracts on apples.
Absolutely.
Which is a great deal as well. Well, I mean, that we can entice people up to your district for a little apple picking here.
Some Sweet Tango apples or some First Kiss, new variety this year. Yeah, we've got apples.
The Sweet 16s. We did some of the Sweet 16s this year. Oh, wow, are those good.
Yep.
Okay. Tim, why don't you explain who exactly is Tim Burkhart?
I am a single white male that's married, actually retired from the Senior Federation January of last year, 2017, as the executive director of the 7-county Senior Federation, the 7 counties surrounding us here in Hinckley in east-central Minnesota. Not to be confused with the 7-county metropolitan area. We serve our constituency out here. I grew up in South Minneapolis. I'm a graduate of Central High School, class of 69. And back in 76, we ventured out to the hinterlands, Pine County specifically. I accepted the job as the news director at the local radio station, Pine City, WCMP. And that's how we ended up in Pine County. Yeah, it's the middle of Pine County. And our intention was to kind of maybe climb the corporate radio ladder, but after experiencing life in Pine County and all it had to offer, we decided to stay. It just made more sense. So we've been here since, 40-plus years in Pine County. And like I mentioned, I just retired after almost 20 years as the director of the Senior Federation, working, of course, on things that you would expect that have to do with seniors.
Your district here, you mentioned Hinckley, obviously is in your district there. Really, it starts, once you get past Rush City, it has Pine City, Mora's in there, and it runs basically 35 as you head north up towards Willow River, Sturgeon Lake, that area. It's an area, you know, it's one of those places that's Yes, you have that Interstate 35, and I know there are probably some people that lament having the interstate there, but boy, it's such a nice asset for you because that is business there. People going from Minneapolis up to Duluth, going up to the cabin, they're always stopping in your district, whether that's getting just gas or stopping for a meal or stopping for an overnight. There's a lot of reasons people go into your district.
Absolutely right. I think the car count, because MnDOT does do a car count, last time I looked at it, there was 1.4... give or take, million cars that got off on an annual basis at the Hinckley exit alone. So there is a fair amount of traffic, as you say, that uses the I-35 corridor as a means of getting to and from work and to and from recreational activities.
You mentioned earlier you had retired, which then brings about the next obvious question. What prompted you to say, you know what, I'm going to run for 11B?
I've answered that question a lot of times, but it was at the prompting of a number of my members in the Senior Federation who were concerned about the state of affairs, mostly on the national level, but some local concerns as well. Medicare and Social Security have constantly been talked about as targets for complete revamping, if not abolishment, and that really concerns seniors, obviously. Those are very critical programs that need to stay in existence for seniors and the disabled to stay alive, to have a quality of life of some kind. When the conversation turns to potential privatization or abolishment of those programs, they made it very clear that they wanted a louder voice. They didn't feel that they were being adequately represented in the Minnesota legislature with their concerns, and they kind of pushed me to it. I had been thinking about it, but, you know, I needed to push over the edge to make the leap and give it a shot. So I'm running as a voice for seniors, but also a voice, a firm voice, I think, for significant health care reform, because it's another big topic that affects everyone, and it's part of what my job and my passion has been for the last nearly 20 years, working on health care reform.
This is an issue. We've talked to people from every corner of the state, metro area, outstate area. It doesn't matter. I mean, this is the issue. We were promised by the current Republicans who run a lot of this country, we were going to have better health care, cheaper health care. Not only has that not materialized, as a matter of fact, they definitively have put forward their cards on the table, and they want to take us back to a system where basically if you, God forbid, get sick, your two options are death or bankruptcy. And that is kind of the world that we're living in here. I think this issue is one of the reasons why it's resonating. I imagine it's one of the reasons why you're hearing a lot about it as well, is that, you know, this is, we know we can do better. We have actually made some steps in that direction. For us to go back is futile. And I imagine that's kind of the case, is that you're just hearing people saying, no, we need to keep moving forward and making sure healthcare is affordable and available to everyone.
It's one of the themes that's constantly repeated back to us as we knock on doors in the district. Healthcare is one of the top three issues that's regularly mentioned as a concern, and we're hearing it. We knew it was there, but I guess we didn't know how loud those concerns would be. But with the chaos that's been healthcare reform over the course of the last, 10 years, it's front and center in people's minds. I think the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, which promised some significant reforms, did have a lot of promise. It did incrementally move us forward. But now, as you've seen, the dismantling that program is really leaving a lot of people certainly wondering what's going to happen or completely out in the cold. And that is very disturbing. We were at the forefront. I know I traveled along with the White House Roadshow as they promoted the development of the Affordable Care Act. We traveled to Des Moines for a large demonstration there while a number of representatives from the government at the time, the Obama administration, sent representatives across the country at town halls everywhere, and we demonstrated. And I think at that time, the public option, at least, was still being considered, was still an active and very integral part of what the Affordable Care Act was going to be. And as most of you know, if you're listening to this program, that disappeared. And I think that took a lot of the teeth out of the Affordable Care Act. And I am sorry that it happened that way, but I think it made sense the more we looked at it, because when the talk turned to how should we handle this, I think the administration looked to advice from, first and foremost, the insurance industry, and the advice they got wasn't solid advice, and I think that led to the withdrawal of a public option portion for the Affordable Care Act, and that really led us down the wrong path towards health care reform that would really change a lot of lives.
And I'm going to bring together your two issues here, seniors and health care. As a person myself, who my parents moved down to South Carolina, I guess because the winters were getting too hard for my dad, they moved down there a year and a half ago. I know what the struggles are. You're dealing with an elderly parent that is, you know, the health care that's available. What treatment can they get? The preventive care that they have. We have definitive needs in Minnesota when it comes to health care for the elderly. And it's unfortunate. This has been a big issue. It's on the range. They're talking about it in the metro quite a bit as well. Is the failure of the Republicans to deal with an effective senior health care policy that addresses not only the seniors, but obviously the children of these seniors, that it wants to make sure their parents, their you know, latter days of life are healthy and quality.
Exactly. It's been talked about, and that cry has been getting more pronounced over the course of the last 10 years. Parents moving back in with their kids so they can get care and care they can afford, not knowing where to turn. The advent and the development of assisted living facilities, you'll find that nursing homes will likely disappear in the very near future, and everything will be there to try to meet the needs of this giant wave, this tsunami of baby boomers that are now of age and needing long-term care or health care in general. You know, at the very least, they have the availability of the best health care system in the world, Medicare, the most affordable, again, Medicare. But it doesn't cover everything. It's going to cover 80% of those costs. So people still do have the burden of having to pick up a supplement of either Part C or Part D or a combination of both in Medicare.
And the longer that we basically do not pay attention to this issue, the worse it gets. I mean, this is an issue that a lot of people, a lot of states lean on their, you know, on their laurels, and they basically wait for the federal government to do it. In Minnesota, we could actually take some big steps forward on our own as a state if we had leadership in St. Paul that basically was going to take this issue seriously.
I couldn't agree more. I think that Minnesota's been a leader in the number of people insured over the years, but there's still a number of gaps that need to be covered, and I think the issue of the cost of long-term care for seniors and for people who are in need of it has never been fully addressed. It's a significant portion. As some people know, many don't, that people talk about Medicaid. It's just for all those people that aren't willing to work. Well, 60 to 65% of the people in nursing homes or assisted living, their expenses are covered by Medicaid. So that's where those Medicaid dollars go. It's a significant change from what some of the public perception is of the benefit of having a significant, strong, comprehensive Medicaid program in place. It's for seniors. It's for the disabled. It helps people who really don't have any other options.
We talked a little bit about Apple Pick and heading up to your district. I will make an argument that with the uniqueness of your district, there's a lot of people that might be driving through your district where they could take a weekend afternoon, take 4 hours, go on, help your campaign, maybe pick an apple or two if they can find an orchard or find pumpkin. I imagine some pumpkin fields around as well, and enjoy the 11B district as well as they help you out in your campaign.
Well, we could certainly do that. We welcome, many many hands make light work, as the saying goes. We're on a regular system of door knocking, and with afternoon hours becoming increasingly short as the days shorten, we're Saturday, Sunday door knockers as much as we can get volunteers up here to spread the word of what we think is some needed changes and some needed recalibration of what's needed in St. Paul. I think we certainly would welcome door knockers of all stripes, and if we knew people were coming, we would find plenty of ways to keep them busy. Maybe it's phone banking. You can use your own phone. You can have snacks while you do it, but just call and get the word out on what we propose to do and what changes we'd like to see in Minnesota, specifically in the district starting here, but for all of Minnesota.
The as you just heard there, you know, it's an easy district to get to. It's a district that we need if we're going to have, you know, effective leadership in St. Paul. And once again, help your local Democrat. By all means, help your local Democrat. But if you're in a relatively safe Democratic district and you can volunteer or donate, help out Tim Burkhart up in 11B. Tim, what's the website that people should go to if they want to get more information?
Pretty easy to figure out. It's Tim B, all small lowercase letters, Tim B. 411B, T-I-M-B-F-O-R, the number 11B.com.
TimB411B.com. That's Tim's website. Go there, volunteer, donate, help Tim take 11B for the DFL. It would be a heck of a pickup for us. We could get that seat, and obviously we need his kind of common sense with the seniors and the healthcare issues that we need to tackle in St. Paul. Tim, thank you very much. I appreciate you being Democrat of the Day today.
I appreciate the time. Thanks for calling me and letting me know what it is this.
My pleasure. Tim Burkhart, 11B, Democrat of the Day, the 60th one we've done so far this year. We got more to come, too. 952-946-6205. Thanks, Tim. We'll be back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Summer's over and the kids are back in school. That means you can call Zero Res to clean up all the dirt your family dragged in from the outside. Their patented powered water will clean up the toughest messes and won't leave behind any smelly dirt-attracting residue. I even had them clean up a mess earlier this summer from a few nameless friends who got a little clumsy with the wings and barbecue sauce. Just call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. Three-room Zero Res abides starting at $149. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same. AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and much more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for AM 950 listeners. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484. That's 651-447-4484.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
The Fall St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running October 12th, 13th, and 14th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have a chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 300 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 30 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with a free transit pass. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at the stpaulartcrawl.org. That's the stpaulartcrawl.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Thanks to Tim for being the Democrat of the day today. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So, Hunter, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we can get the victory celebration ready for Trump. That's right. We have a brand new trade agreement with Canada. It's over. Matt, in your face, McNeil. That's what I've been hearing. We got it done. Massive trade. Wow. Wow, just Everything that Trump has promised, come to light, Matt. Eat it, Matt. That's what I've heard. All right. So after getting a few conservatives saying, where's Canada? I basically decided to say, okay, let me take a look exactly what's in this new trade deal. And I have broken this down for everyone here. I want to start off here with the some of the details. First of all, it's a 16-year deal that they can renew after 6 years. And if they don't get it renewed after 6 years, basically every year after that for the next 10 years, they can try to renew it every year. Okay. So once again, the concept of this bill was to bring manufacturing back to the United States. That's what Trump is saying. This is, we're going to bring manufacturing back to the United States. And so if you look at this, what you're looking for is what's going to bring manufacturing back to the United States? What does Canada get out of this deal? Because once again, this was a big negotiation. And by all accounts, what I have read, the United States made about 90% of the concessions from Trump's initial starting points to get to this point. They made some massive concessions. But I actually think it was far worse because this deal is bad for the United States. Canada gets to import more vehicles into the United States. Currently, their annual vehicle import rate is 1.8 million vehicles into the United States. They get up that to 2.6 million vehicles. So the Canadians get another 800,000 automobiles imported into the United States. That's a pretty big win for them. The United States does get some concessions. Most of them are kind of garbagey, and what I mean by that is, here's a great example, is copyright on intellectual property. So say Stephen King dies, right? The intellectual property rights, international intellectual property rights between the United States and Canada means that Stephen King's rights to his books exist for as long as he's alive, plus 50 years. We've now expanded that out to 70 years. Like I said, kind of garbage concessions. I mean, it applies to someone, I guarantee you, some wealthy family, but that's the case. Patent expansion on some drugs from 8 to 10 years. So that's once again minor things. But here is where the Canadians are supposed to be making a massive concession. Their dairy industry. Now, if you don't know, Canadian dairy is very protected within Canada, as in with a lot of countries. And it's been a sore spot between the United States and Canada for many years, is that they will not open up their markets to United States producers. But the Canadians are keeping it limited because that's just, they're trying to protect their own base. It costs a lot of money to have cows in a very cold climate. So that's kind of one of the reasons why. Currently, the United States is able to sell 3.25% of dairy that is sold in Canada. So 3.25%, okay? It's not a lot. Let's see here. Thomas from Matt's Math Corner, shall we? Here, we'll do the calculator thing here. The population of Canada is 37,060,000. So 36,660,000 people. I guess it's times, and it's, what is it? It's 3.25% times 0.0325 equals, that's about a million. You know, basically the United States can supply dairy for about 1,100,000 people. That's what we currently get. 1,185,000 people. All right. We get to take that number up from the 3.25% up to 3.6%. Let's just see what the new number is. Let's go to the tally board. All right. Times 0.036. Ooh, we now get to supply the dairy for 1,334,000, basically another 120,000 people. Okay, that doesn't seem like a lot. Now, there is one other concession here to something called a Class 7 pricing. Now, Class 7 is a classification Canada uses on certain dairy products with protein in them. They're generally byproducts. we can now, there's not going to be, you know, price fixing on this. So this actually, the price, the Class 7 pricing is a good concession, but still we can only sell enough to get to that, you know, 1,334,000 people out of 37 million people in Canada. So as far as a concession goes, I mean, I would make an argument, Canada getting to import another 800,000 cars while we get to basically deliver dairy to 100,000 more people, the United States gets the raw end of that deal. But let's also take a step back here and realize that this is not manufacturing jobs. As a matter of fact, if you wanted manufacturing jobs to come back in the United States, you would dramatically limit the amount of cars that Canada can import, because people aren't going to go on out and start dairy farms because there's another 100,000 people in Canada that we can sell dairy products to. No one's about to go on out there and buy a whole bunch of land and start, you know, milking Holsteins because Canada is going to take a slight bit more of milk products from us. How in the world does this bring back manufacturing to the United States? It doesn't. Not only is it a bad deal, not only do we kind of get jobbed on this because it's not a real big concession by Canada. As a matter of fact, we went out of the way to give Canada a sweetheart deal. I mean, the dispute system goes unchanged. The steel and aluminum tariffs are still in place, but the retaliatory tariffs from Canada are still in place as well. And the visas about workers, that's unchanged as well. So really, that's it. A slight increase in the amount of dairy and dairy products we can sell in Canada versus Canada gets to give us another 800,000 cars per year. Which one do you think is going to expand the manufacturing base? Well, Canadians' manufacturing base has got to be loving it. But you're not going to get people to go on out and start dairy farms because of this grand deal. It's just dumb. Let's get Jeff in here really quick. I don't want him to have to hold through the break. Jeff is in Minneapolis. Thanks for holding, Jeff. Welcome on in.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. I was just listening in, and I totally agree with you on the Canada thing. And we'll ask the Minnesota soybean and pork-producing farmers how they fared when all this plays out. But my question is, actually, my statement to you today is you've inspired me to vote for the first time in about, 15 years. I just became so disillusioned with the political system and everything. And I kind of had an epiphany during one of your shows. I was thinking, okay, how is a common man like me going to go against Citizens United and all the big money that's going into corporate America? How can we battle that? And I said one word, vote. Every vote counts. And you said that. And I just wanted to thank you for that. I will be voting in this next election. And I'll get off the phone and let you respond to that.
Hey, Jeff, thank you very much. And thank you for voting. That's very cool that you're doing that. I understand people get disenfranchised. But if we learned anything in 2016, not only do you vote for people, but you vote to prevent certain people from getting into office. And that there is this entire notion that, oh, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were the same. Oh, I've got a hoot of one coming up for you that proves that these two are not even close to being in the same ballpark. But you can't change the system. I mean, Wardlow, where's Wardlow? The Republican AG nominee. He's out there now saying, hey, I'll leave politics at the door if you make me the attorney general of the state of Minnesota. I won't get involved with the lawsuit to end the Affordable Care Act. Like, that's one grand concession. Well, that's pretty much, you know, has run its course running its course as we speak. No, he's a far right stooge, and that's all Wardlow is. And he's not going to be neutral. He's going to be incredibly political. And he's going to basically use his attorney general's office as a way to undermine the legislature and the governor. And sue to basically write legislation from the AG's office. Yeah, it matters. And I don't get me wrong. I mean, and we'll talk a little bit about this. The allegations of Keith Ellison are a little scary, to say the least. Although there's a new report today that they've done the initial investigation and they find no merit to the accusations, although they still say that if this video does exist, that would go a long ways, but no one's showing the video. Needless to say, if it does exist, needless to say, it does matter who you vote for. And if you want an attorney general who's basically going to choose the attorney general's office to try to write all the laws of the state of Minnesota, well, and from a far-right extremist point of view, from the Donald Trump camp, that's Wardlow. That's plain and simple. If you don't want that, well, then get out there and vote for Ellison. And those are the options on the table. 952-946-6205. Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. We'll take a break. Come on back. We're running real late already. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota-certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers. They offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And right now, they are paying top dollar for your trade-in, even if you didn't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Did you realize that Drink in the Style is available on iTunes, Google Play, and pretty much every other podcast platform out there? You can listen to past episodes of Drink in the Style, or maybe download our really cool martini glass graphic, or just listen to your favorite episode again and again. But if you do, I need to ask you for a quick favor. Hop online and give us a 5-star rating. It helps others find the show and also boosts my fragile ego. Drink in the Style. It's a great way to kill Sundays, or really, anytime at all.
Indeed. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Crooners is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Dinner and dancing, you got to love the combination platter there. It's a fantastic option. If you haven't had a night like that in a long time, no one's going to ask you to do a spotlight dance. You can just go on over there and just sway to the music. Great music out there. And as a matter of fact, they're actually becoming one of the most premier locations for jazz, for some blues, pop. I mean, it's just fantastic. Great music, great food, too. Great steaks. Try the steaks up there. I love them up that way. It's Crooner's Lounge and the Supper Club, Highway 65 on beautiful Moore Lake in the North Metro, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Kelly is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Kelly.
Hi, Matt.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I know you don't like to kick a guy while he's down, but so what do you think of the Jim Loblaw controversy?
And Kelly, I appreciate it. What he's talking about is the representative out of St. Cloud area who withdrew from the race after allegations that he allegations of abuse came from his daughter. Here's what I'm going to say. There are a lot of Republicans who are still screaming about Keith Ellison, and I'll get to Keith Ellison here in just a point, in a moment here. They'll get to Keith, scream about Keith Ellison, how he's horrible. Not one. I have yet to see any Republican just come on out and say, hey, and you know, it's an allegation. I'm not asking for you to get the guillotine ready here, okay? But at least you can say, hey, if these allegations are true, this is disgusting, and Jim Knobloch should face the full extent of the law. Ta-da! Is that tough, Republicans, for you? Are you that broken by Reagan's golden rule that you basically can't even condemn outright allegations of child sex abuse? You can't? I weep for you guys, because I mean this whole last week, it has shown me how broken the Republican Party is. And whether it's ignoring, calling, you know, sexual assault of teenage girls perfectly okay. Hey, well, we still want him on the Supreme Court even if he did it. To your silence in regards to a incredible serious allegation against Jim Knobloch. While you still at the same time say, but let's only talk about Keith Ellison. Well, you're broken people. I have been consistent. Minneapolis DFL says it will forward an internal report on a domestic abuse claim against Keith Ellison to local authorities for further investigation after an investigator hired by the party found the claim could not be substantiated. Ellison is the Democratic candidate for attorney general. A former girlfriend has alleged that he tried to drag her off the bed by her legs and feet during a fight in 2016, which he denies. The investigation report was unable to substantiate the claim of physical abuse made by Ms. Monahan, read the statement released Monday afternoon by Ken Martin, the chairman of the DFL. The party did not immediately release the investigation report produced by Susan Ellingstead, the Minneapolis attorney who the DFL hired to conduct the investigation. For the purpose of objectivity and getting all of the facts regarding these allegations, we've decided to forward the information in the investigation to local authorities in order to let them review the contents and determine whether further investigation is warranted, Martin stated in a statement. The DFL spokeswoman later said that the party was still seeking information to determine who has jurisdiction to turn over the information to. In the statement Monday, Ellison described the probe as thorough, independent, and fair review and sought to pivot back to discussing the issues on an important election. Addressing this allegation has been especially challenging, given the important national moment we are in. Said Ellison, I believe women who come forward must be heard, and I have their allegations fully investigated. This is why I have complied with this investigation fully and will do so with other inquiries. I thank the Minnesota DFL for taking this issue seriously and requesting the investigation. It should be noted, one thing about Keith Ellison I want to say, he himself has asked the U.S. House, which would have the jurisdiction over him because he is still a sitting House member. And this allegation happened during his tenure. He has asked the U.S. House to investigate this claim against him as well. That's not what Brett Kavanaugh has done. When Brett Kavanaugh has been asked, should the FBI investigate this, he basically shrugs his shoulders and goes, I like beer! Beer! I mean, there is a difference here. Keith Ellison had this investigation by the DFL. They're looking to hand it over to law enforcement and see if there's anything they want to look into. He's also asked the U.S. House to investigate. That's if you feel you're innocent of a crime, you don't just sit out there and try to hide in plain sight. You know, as much as it's uncomfortable, you welcome these investigations and you go from there. Once again, the video is everything. Monahan says she has a video, or at least she had a video, and she now doesn't want to show it to anyone, or she doesn't have it. It's one of the two. And whether or not, you know, I mean, is there a Republican out there that's getting ready to, write as big a check as possible to release this, you know, 2-3 days before the election? Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, the DFL has done an investigation in on this, and they couldn't find anything. According to the story, the Associated Press, which obtained a copy of the DFL report, Ellingstead said that Monahan was not willing to release a video. She says she has of the incident. She also wrote in a report that Monahan gave shifting explanations on why she would not release the alleged video. Monahan did not immediately respond to requests for comments. Andrew Parker, an attorney for Monahan, indicated there may be circumstances under which Monahan would be willing to share the video as part of an investigation, but did not elaborate. He also pointed to a separate corroboration of the abuse allegations in the form of Monahan's report to the doctor last year and her son's statement that he watched the alleged video of the abuse. So you have the son saying he saw the video. You have the reported medical report, which they've also investigated. Parker said that neither he nor Monahan have viewed the report and they are expected it would have been made available to the victim of abuse and the subject of the investigation before it was made public. Ellingstead works for Lockridge. As predicted, the sham investigation. Doug Wardlow has chimed in.
As predicted, the sham investigation led by the DFL party's attorney, legal partner, has concluded a favor for the party.
Something like that. I don't know exactly. He's always sounded so, so rational. Anywho, he basically, that was my entire campaign to sit there and say, black guy abusing women. That was my entire, don't you dare take that away from me. That's there is the ever calm Wardlow making his point be known. And you guys were wondering if I would be pulling my punches, you fools. What are you talking about? Wardlow! If there is a take, I said this before, I will say this again. You probably want to release that tape now that you guys are the ones who let this out of the bag. If the tape doesn't exist, then you should say either we had the tape and it doesn't exist or there never was a tape. Needless to say, I guarantee you Wardlow's people are going to be in touch with Monahan and say, how many zeros do you want on the check? That's going to be, if this tape does exist, there's going, and they'll try to release it 3 days before the election. That's, and I guess that's our only out recourse on this. Is that, I mean, if that's going to be what the case may be. Needless to say, I think the fact that the initial investigation outside, and once again, there was, and the words are short, there wasn't, it was uncorroborated that there was, what was the exact term here? Can't substantiate it. They can't substantiate the report. And I guarantee you they've seen this medical report, which, you know, supposedly is the smoking gun. And I don't know if she's talked to the son who said that they saw the video. But the reality is that they can't substantiate it. And trust me, I think the DFL would want to substantiate this at this point. They don't want this coming back on them either. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's get Gary in Minneapolis on the air here before we go. Welcome on in, Gary.
Hi, Matt. Yeah, you know, this country got to decide is we, like the founders wrote, that tried to strive for. We the people are I the well-born. And that's what Wellstone was saying, is we all do better when we all do better. And, you know, the previous representative from Hinckley said that, you know, talked about the threat to Social Security and Medicare. You know, these Republican buttons of privilege, when we got Social Security back then, they were the same way, no government for us. They, one Republican in the House voted for Roosevelt. Social Security plan, when it came through, they opposed it as hard as they could.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it. No, they always will fight this stuff. They always will fight this stuff. Absolutely. I mean, is that a real surprise to anyone? They always fight this stuff. I mean, they everything they do, every tax break they get, is 95% of it goes to the wealthiest Americans. You get. You know, whenever there's an expansion of tax breaks, it goes to the wealthiest. If there's a tax break on a third mansion, who do you think that goes to? The wealthiest. There's a tax break on the yachts. Who does that go to? Well, it's the wealthiest. There's a tax break on the limos. Who does that go to? The wealthiest. But yet these stooges, these morons that keep voting Republican, keep buying, one of these days, they're going to give me my tax dollars and I'm going to be a bazillionaire. No, they're not. They're not going to do that. Unless you got a yacht, then you get a great tax break. Or a third vacation, or your own jet. You got your own jet? Well, there's a massive tax break for your own jet. But if you don't have an own jet, well, isn't that really on you that you don't get that tax break? Logic, courtesy of the Republican Party. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Standard Heating knows some things never get old for us Minnesotans. The fall colors, s'mores, and football tailgating. But some things like your furnace do get old, and that can mean higher heating bills. Fortunately, you can save $1,300 on a new high-efficiency furnace from Standard Heating and help cut your heating bills. Learn more about saving $1,300 on your new furnace at standardheatingdeals.com. Don't wait. These savings end October 31st. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Comfort you deserve.
Margaret Wheatley said, there is no more powerful way to initiate significant social change than to start a conversation. When a group of people discover that they share a common concern, that's when the process of change begins. On October 16th, you can be part of that change. Engage in the conversation at an incredible event, the Minnesota Women's Press Conversations, Using Our Voice and Vote. With midterms right around the corner, how we lobby, influence, and campaign, especially with people who have different views, has never been more important. So go to womenspress.com to register now. Oh, and Patricia Torres-Ray and Nikema Levy-Armstrong will be in a keynote conversation with each other. And in addition, all of us will mobilize through incredible breakout conversations. October 16th from 4:30 to 8:30 in St. Paul at Carondelet Center using our voice and vote. Register at womenspress.com. That's womenspress.com. See you there.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show. And together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit FerndaleMarket.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Once again, we should be taking accusations of sexual assault and assault seriously. Keith Ellison and the DFL are taking that. See, at least they're seeming to be dead things. I'm not saying that there's nothing there. I'm saying that if there's a video there, that at this point, what the DFL's investigation has said is that's about the only thing that's going to prove whether or not this was actually real. That's the deal. And they're going to hand their information over to law enforcement to see if there's anything they might want to follow up on. And Keith Ellison has asked the U.S. House to investigate him. He wants to be forthright. Now, once again, I'm not saying that he's innocent. I'm just saying that if you are innocent, these are the steps I would expect people will be taking if you were consistently saying you're innocent. Not saying nothing silence or not saying, well, that was a long time ago, like Republicans do. Thanks to Todd Colad. Todd Colad is sponsoring AM 950 this week. That's right. If you'd like to sponsor the station, you can go to AM 950. Just call us at 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885. That's our business office. You can find out how you can sponsor the station if you so desire. Protest to Survive is going to be the first single released from the forthcoming album, Grounded. That album is going to be coming on out here. Hopefully sometime this month here, might have a second single coming up later this week. So we'll let you know if that comes on out. I'll have Protest to Survive. I'll repost that up on social media for you guys to take a look at a little bit later on. And thank you very much, Todd. We sure do appreciate you doing that. 952-946-6205. So two stories. First of all, I want to start by saying, holy God, there is a Washington Post story that came on out. This has nothing to do with Kavanaugh. But it could be the scariest damn thing I've seen yet come from the Trump administration. I am dead serious. In a legal briefing, an environmental study for a legal briefing, buried deep in this briefing from the Trump administration is a startling, stunning, terrifying admission from the Trump administration. That argument is that the planet is somewhat doomed, that their own estimates show that the temperature rise due to climate change will be 7 degrees warmer for the planet on average, Fahrenheit, 4 degrees Celsius, by the time we get to 2100. So in 82 years. In 82 years, we are going to be 7 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than we are. If you've ever read the great book, 6 Degrees, which is a phenomenal book, the reality is a lot of the world's going to start dying off. Well, it starts dying off about 3 degrees. If we get up actually to 4 degrees Celsius, 7 degrees Fahrenheit is what they're saying, and that's about 4 degrees, we are going to see large swaths of the world become uninhabitable. Most of the coastal cities will be inundated with water, and they won't be able to stop it. The temperatures will be scorching hot. We will lose a lot of our food crop growing areas. The ice caps will completely disappear from the poles. It's going to be real end of the world stuff going on, and you will start seeing the beginnings of mass die-offs on this planet. This is a terrifying number. This is a Trump administration admission in this report. Washington Post had it. Why? Why was this statistic in this report? What was the Trump administration trying to do by including this in this report? Was it a dire warning that, my God, unless we change immediately, we're all doomed? Nope. The Trump administration had included this science in their investigative study to make the argument that the planet is already screwed, that you can't save it. We're all going to die. Henceforth, the emission standards for cars built after 2020 are useless. Seriously. They have used their own science, which says the Earth is going to die in less than 100 years. We are going to get past a cataclysmic event that we will not be able to stop it. Not because they care about their fellow human being, but because there's short-term profit margins to be made in the auto industry. And so they, I guess, can build their own underground bunkers on Baffin Island in northern Canada while the rest of us die in a roasting, scorching sun without water. I want to repeat this because this is the epitome of insanity. This is the epitome of insanity. The Trump administration, in one of their own legal briefings, an environmental study they included with a legal briefing, these numbers came from the Trump administration themselves. They say the planet is doomed, that by 2010, the climate change will already have changed the weather and the temperatures so much, they'll be 7 degrees warmer Fahrenheit, 4 degrees Celsius. And once again, if you read up on those numbers, that means we are going to start seeing massive die-offs on this planet by 2100. By the time your kids, their kids are middle-aged, 50 years old. So within our children's and our grandchildren's lifetimes, the planet will die, or at least begin its death scene. They've omitted this not because they want to try to stop this or are wanting to people to sound the alarms or wanting to basically do what they can to save humanity. They admitted this so that they don't have to install emission standards on cars and light-duty pickup trucks after 2020. We're already on fire, so you might as well just, you know, pour more gasoline on us. I don't know how in the world, when we had the caller call up and say, what do we have to do to change? You have to vote. And folks, this is no longer just something that some pencil pushing scientists or something like that are saying. This is becoming reality. And the Trump administration is even admitting this now. And yet they don't want to do anything. Let me ask you this. Do you want the world to die? I don't want the world to die. Vote Democrat, for God's sakes. For God's sakes, vote Democrat. Doug's up next. Till tomorrow, see ya.